This is the Generation Example Podcast.
Hey, you guys, I had the worst year of college was my senior year, and it was the year that I decided I wanted to live with all of my roommates. Charles, hit page 1-2 on the light so these aren't my eyes, please. Well, I thought living with my best friends would be a great idea, right? Doesn't that sound great, right? Just two guys broing it out all the time, you know what I mean? No parents, no nothing going on, and we are going to have this great time, you know, and it started out really good, but then it got really bad, and chaos set in. You guys know what chaos is? You guys know what chaos is? So all of a sudden, my one friend that I was living with turned into two friends. Two friends turned into three friends. Pretty soon we had a house full of people that we were all sharing the room. Everybody eating my food. Strange people sleeping in my bed. Just random things happening. Random things missing. Trying to study for school. And people being up till like 6 in the morning partying, right? And I was like, man, I got to get out of here. It turned horrible, right? And it got to the point where I couldn't run fast enough to get away from this situation of living with all of my best friends. Right? And it wasn't my best friend's fault. I mean, they're decent guys, right? I mean, I'm not going to blame them. But the reality is too much of anything gets overwhelming. It gets too much. And some of you guys know exactly what I mean. Some of you guys, maybe you've had like every single class with one of your best friends, and you guys are on the soccer team together or whatever, and you've just been with them all the time, and now summer's coming, and you're like, I don't want to see this person ever again, you know? And we feel that way, right? And what you need to realize is it's not, your friends aren't horrible, it's whatever, it's just too much of anything can be really difficult. And some of you guys are in that situation right now and you're thinking, man, I'm just going to get away from all of humanity. I'm just going to go live on a desert island and I'm just going to get away from everybody. But here's the thing. Listen to me on this one. Even if you go and be alone for a long time and try to get away from people, then all of a sudden what? That starts really stinking it up, right? And then you're like, man, I'm alone. This is boring. Where is everybody? And you start craving connection. Because being alone isn't cool anything. Pretty soon that gets too much of being alone sucks too, right? Could you imagine, think about this, could you imagine being the only person on the planet? That would drive you nuts. As a matter of fact, I remember a movie. One of my favorite actors of all time is a guy by the name of Will Smith. You guys like Will Smith? I love Will Smith. He's been in some great movies. He's one of my favorite actors. And he was in this movie a while ago. Called I Am Legend. And I remember this scene. You guys remember when him and his dog were like, everybody like turned into like these zombies or whatever, and him and his dog were like the only one left, and he was like talking to his dog. And he got so crazy. What did he do? He started talking to mannequins. And he would set them up, and he would start talking to all these different mannequins. If you haven't seen that, let's watch. It's a funny clip. Go ahead and roll that, Charles. Oh, man. Not only does he start talking to mannequins, he wants to start hitting on mannequins, right? Man, he's been alone too long, right? And that's what happens when you're alone too long, you start going crazy. And that's the thing we want to talk about. There's something inside of us that, you know, even though people bug us, even though people get on our nerves, we still desire to be connected, right? And I think a lot of us have experienced life without people, whether you've chosen that or whether it's just happened, right? We've all, on some level, experienced life without people. But here's the thing. We all long to belong. We all long to connect, right? And if you're not connected, what happens? Well, literally, you can go crazy if you don't connect. You've seen those movies of people on desert islands, you know. We desire to be connected. But at the same time, and even look at you know, the cell phone is to me a modern-day wonder of connection. Why are cell phones so popular? Why do we love social media? Because what it does is it allows us to be connected to anybody at any time. You know, through Facebook, through texting, we are totally connected to all these people. And so what I want you guys to realize is that the fact that we all want to be connected is a good thing. It's a healthy thing, right? You don't, it's not something we need to be embarrassed that you want friends. It's actually a really good thing. And even more than that, it's something that we were created to do. So if you guys got a Bible, open up your Bible. We're going to be looking at the very first book in the Bible, which is called Genesis. Right? And what we learn in Genesis, right, we learn that God created everything in 6 days, right? If you guys remember in the very beginning, it says God created the birds in the air. And what did he say? He said, it is good. God created the fish. It is good. God created the land. It is good. The night, it is good. God created a carne asada burrito, and it was really good, right? And then right after he created all that, then the second to last thing he created, by the way, yesterday, one of them food trucks, the Mexican one, did you guys eat at those yesterday? Man, they had these burritos that were just, oh my goodness. I was in heaven with this burrito. But back to my point, the second to last thing that God created was man, right? So in verse 4, it says this. If you guys don't have your Bible, it's cool. We're in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. It's also in your handout, so open up your handout. You guys can follow along. Verse 4 says this. It says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. It says, now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain in the earth. And there was no one to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the hole in the surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. So we see God creating man, right, on the second to last thing that he created. And now for the next 11 verses in Genesis, we see man has a pretty sweet deal. Right, he has this paradise he's living in. He can eat pretty much anything he wants. I mean, he has the ultimate, like, ideal living situation. There's nothing to complain about, right? But it's interesting, and we don't know if man was lonely or whatever, but it's interesting that when God sees man all by himself, right, what does he say? He's like, this isn't good, right? He says, man needs something else. He needs something he can relate to. He needs somebody to talk to. There's all these other creatures and these animals, but there's no one for man to hang out with. And he says it's not good for man to be alone. Listen to this. I love this. Then the Lord God said, he said this in verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God has formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the skies, and he brought them to man to see which one he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, it was. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds, the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall in a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took out one of his ribs, closed it up, the place of the flesh, and the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And so God looked around, and he's like, is there another creature, right, that man can hang out with, right? And the dogs and the cats and the bears and the elephants, they just weren't cutting it. And now a lot of this we've talked about, and it applies, there's a lot of marriage context here, right? Husband and wife being married. But this goes way deeper than marriage. This has everything to do with community. Man didn't just need a wife. He needed somebody to talk to. He needed somebody to relate to. He needed some community, some connection. He needed support. He needed to be in community. You know, if we're real honest, I think some of us would think if we could just get away, it would fix everything. Right? It would fix my life, you know, there would be no drama, there'd be no parents, there'd be no chores, you know, there would be no old Aunt Zelda trying to give me a kiss with her stinky denture breath, right? I think we could just get away with a lot, we can get away from a lot of things that we think would solve our problems. But the question is that really happiness? Is isolation really going to bring you happiness, or was God right when he said it's not good that we're alone? The other day, I was actually just on Wednesday, I came home and I had one of those shocking parental moments in my life. And my daughter, who's learning to read and write, is writing a book. And, you know, it's just a little scribble book, you know, but it has pages and it's got a cover. And I got a picture of it up here. Charles, throw that picture of Cassidy's book up there. Do you have it in there? This is her book. It says, by, obviously she's learning how to write, so bear with the scribbles, by Cassidy Thomas. And there's a little house on the thing. And it's actually a little school. And the opening chapter says this. It says, I went to school. I went to a school. The school was scary. And you can't see the bottom, but it says, I don't have any best friends. And when I saw this, like, as a father, my heart, like, broke. I was like, oh, my daughter has no friends. You know, she's one of those kids in class, you know. And so we kind of freaked out. And then I went and I talked to her. And I was like, Cassidy, I was trying to all play it smooth. I see you wrote a book. Tell me about it, you know. And she goes, you know, oh, this is, and I'm like, She tells me about it. I'm like, so do you feel like you don't have any friends? And she's like, come on, Dad. This is just chapter one. I haven't finished the book yet. You know what I mean? She goes, and she starts going on with the story about how she, the girl, she makes all these friends, and then she befriends the people who has no friends. It's really actually kind of sweet. But the reason why I share this with you is because in the mind of a six-year-old, what is really scary? What is really scary is the fact that maybe you can go to school and have no best friends. Now, where did she learn that? And the truth is there's something in all of us that craves and desires community. And that's how God made us. God made us to want to be connected with other people. He made us to want friends, communities, relationship, intimacy, right? That's where we learn about God. It's where we learn about our lives. It's where we learn about God's love. We learn about all these things through being connected with one another. And I know maybe there's some of you, you're thinking, man, that's easy. I love being around people. I can't even go to the bathroom by myself. I got to bring 10 people into the toilet with me because I can't ever be alone, right? Right? Some of you are like, I love people, but look, this is more than just surrounding yourself with friends. This is being in a place where people know you, and I'm talking about the real you, right? The I'm starving, I'm hungry, if one more person talks to me, I'm going to go buck wild version of you, right? Where people really know you. Not just the you put out there, not the Facebook version of you. And that can be kind of scary to really let people in. Some of you guys really don't want this. And you're hearing me right now and you're like, I'm cool. I'm cool being alone. I don't need people. I don't need friends. I can handle the loneliness. Some of you are here and maybe you've tried letting people in. Maybe you've tried being in community. You've opened up and you've let people in and you've been hurt. And so now you're thinking, you know what, I tried this and it didn't work. And I don't want anything from this. And some of you think you have community because you got 1,000 friends on Facebook and 1,000,000 contacts to text and you go out every night with people and you're like, man, I got community. I got friends. And I want to encourage you again, community is more than accumulating friends. Ask yourself the question, do people really know you? Do people have permission to ask you really difficult questions? Are you really sharing what's going on? Because it's easy to be surrounded by hundreds of people and still be lonely. It happens all the time. It's amazing. We live in a world where you can have 1,000 friends on Facebook and feel like nobody gets you, nobody knows you. And so today, my encouragement is no matter where you find yourself on the spectrum, whether you think you have it, whether you don't want it, whether you tried it, whether you think you do want it, the reality is we all need community. We all need to be in relationship with each other. Here's the truth. We all need God. Every single person in here, I believe, needs a personal relationship with God. But the second thing we also need is to be in a body of believers, a community where we can encourage each other to follow Christ. And some of you don't have that. And my question for you today is why and what's stopping you? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and what it says, Lord, and what we can learn about not only needing you, Lord, but on a certain level needing each other. And I just pray for this ministry, Lord. I pray for the young people who are here. I pray, Lord, that this would be a place, Lord, where we can connect with each other, where we would know each other, Lord, and not just on the surface, not just coming into a room full of people and knowing each other's names, Lord, but we would allow people into our lives, Lord, and understand deeply what it means to be connected with each other. More than just Facebook friends, Lord, that we be connected in a real, intimate way, Lord. And so we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.